We're all getting used to the quieter cars coming up behind us on the streets and in parking lots. Hybrids and straight electrics are all over the place now, and the plug-ins get plenty of support. The states of Oregon and Washington put some money into spacing charging stations along Interstate 5 on the so-called West Coast Electric Highway. The northern part of California, our part, has not been quite so blessed so far, but could well join the party soon. We have reps from all three states here to talk about the progress. Andrew Dick is with the Oregon Department of Transportation, where he is the Connected, Autonomous, and EV Advisor. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tonya Buell's with us as well. She's with the Washington DOT, where she's the Project Development Manager for Innovative Partnerships. Welcome, Tonya.
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here.
And we have also with us from the California Energy Commission, Energy Analyst Retta DeMesa. Welcome, Retta.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Sure. Good to have such a collection of all you guys here. Andrew, I got to love your title, the idea of a connected, autonomous, and EV advisor. So this is more than just EVs. Explain what the job's all about.
So really it's looking at sort of the basket of new technologies that are coming online in the vehicle market. Oregon has had an EV program for a few years now. We previously had a chief EV officer for the agency. But now that connected and automated vehicles like Google's self-driving car are approaching market readiness, we've really sort of expanded the role to look at all the new technologies that might be on the road.
Is there a difference between the connected and autonomous vehicles?
Yeah, absolutely. So a connected vehicle just means a vehicle that can communicate with other vehicles or with its surroundings, but a driver might actually still be in control of that vehicle. So that vehicle might be getting safety messages from the infrastructure around it, warning about, you know, traffic congestion or something like that. An automated vehicle, on the other hand, is one where driver functions are taken over by a computer system. So, you know, a simple version of that might just be cruise control, but then a very advanced version of that would be a self-driving car.
Okay, well, I want to talk to Tonya Buell now at the Washington Department of Transportation. Innovative Partnerships in your title. Who are the state partners on electric vehicles in the state of Washington?
Oh, we have a lot of partners in the state of Washington. We work with our forward-thinking legislators, our EV drivers, utilities, electric vehicle supply equipment providers, just a whole bunch of both public and private partners from the federal, state, and local level.
And let's get some numbers here, too, from the two of you. So Tonya, how many chargers along the Washington portion of the West Coast Electric Highway?
Well, our original investment was in 12 communities, 12 DC fast chargers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what do you have in Oregon so far along the West Coast Electric Highway, Andrew?
We have a total of 44 DC fast charging stations.
Okay. So good numbers there. And Retta DeMesa, I noticed in California things are a little spottier once you get north of the Bay Area. Is there much in the way of chargers that the state is part of north of, say, Sacramento?
We do have a handful of chargers north of Sacramento, but we're looking to build that out pretty rapidly. We recently awarded about $8.9 million in grant funding for the installation of 61 DC fast chargers, and we're thinking that that is going to fill in all of the gaps of the West Coast Highway for California.
All right. I noticed that you're with the Energy Commission and not Caltrans. So is the process just a little bit different in California for some of the other states and how to get chargers out there?
So the Energy Commission is California's primary energy planning and policy agency. We do a lot of implementation of the electric vehicle chargers. I think we're actually the primary agency for implementing those.
Tonya Buell, I want to come back to you at Washington because evidently there's lots of development there. How much use are the chargers getting in Washington at this point?
The use of the chargers is growing. I was just looking back at 2012. We're about triple what we were when we first kicked off the West Coast Electric Highway. And this is EV driving season. So for the summertime, we're seeing a lot more use, especially along some of our more touristy routes.
EV driving season because of the fact that there are people out there vacationing now?
Yeah, this is a great. The Pacific Northwest is a great place to get out and explore, and a great way to do that is in your electric vehicle. And by having these electric vehicle DC fast chargers along our routes, our EV drivers are able to get out and drive longer distances and explore.
Tanya, in the time since Washington began installing the fast chargers, how long ago was that, and how far has the technology in range come along for the cars since that time?
Well, we started the project actually back about 7 years ago when we heard that the Nissan Leaf was coming out and other electric vehicles, Tesla Roadster was out, and we wanted to prepare for being able to have charging for drivers. So 2011 is when we were able to get some funding through our state energy program, our U.S. Department of Energy Recovery Act grants, and we built the original 12 locations in various communities back in 2012, and the use has just been growing over time.
We're talking about the West Coast Electric Highway, electric cars, finding publicly funded chargers along Interstate 5. We have Andrew Dick from Oregon, Tonya Buell from Washington, and Reta DeMesa from California. And we'd like to have you in here as well if you have some questions about electric cars, electric car chargers, and the West Coast Electric Highway, or maybe some experiences of your own to share with us about using any of the above. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Andrew Dick, did the stimulus money that Tonya was just talking about also help Oregon build out its charging system?
Yeah, absolutely. We used a combination of stimulus money and then something called Tiger Grants, which are our U.S. Department of Transportation grants, to do the majority of the funding. We had some limited match funding from the state, but the majority of it was from those federal programs.
And how much use are the chargers getting in Oregon at this point? Has it grown by leaps and bounds? Is it coming along incrementally?
Yeah, it's definitely been growing. At this point, it's over 1.5 million miles of all electric driving that's been charged through our system, and that's not even including the trips that folks are taking based on charges from home. So we've seen pretty good utilization of the system, especially depending on what station you're talking about. But then that's only a fraction of the full EV driving that's been done in the state.
Got a little bit of an education. The last time we talked about electric cars here, I didn't realize that the Tesla chargers are somewhat different. So those exist too, I understand, but not publicly funded. Is that right?
That's correct. There actually are three sort of charging standards at this point. Tesla went out and built their own, and then the East Asian auto manufacturers used one, and then recently the Western manufacturers, the European and American ones, have sort of developed their own standard. So at this point, Tesla, for instance, builds adapters so that you can use their vehicles with different types of chargers. But for the East Asian or the European and U.S. Manufacturers, it's really just sort of one or the other.
All right, so you can't drive up to the wrong one and have an adapter ready except for with Tesla?
Exactly, yes.
All right. So, wow. So you're out of luck if you drive up with an American car to a receptacle that's ready to charge a Japanese car.
Yeah, well, all of these are, there are a lot of sort of smartphone apps and things are typically the way that people find charging stations, and those all include the information about the charging station, sometimes even whether it's occupied at this moment in time, and, of course, the locations of all the different local charging stations that meet your criteria. So with technology, it's getting pretty easy, actually, to find your way to a compatible charger.
Tonya Buell, you seem to have some sense for the circumstances in which people will hit the road with an electric car. Is it as freewheeling as Andy makes it sound, in the sense that you'll head out and try to find a charger with your app once you're on the road, or does it require a bit more careful planning still?
Well, at this point, you mentioned technology changes, mm-hmm. and what's really exciting is there are all different kinds of makes and models of electric vehicles coming on the road, and the first cars out could only travel about 60 miles before they needed to stop and recharge, but the newer vehicles that are coming out are going to be able to drive 200 miles on a charge, and to me that's going to be a game changer. I think we'll see a lot more people venturing out for more than just their daily commute, but actually using it as a regular car.
Electric car is the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Tonya Buell's with Washington's DOT, Andrew Dick with Oregon's DOT, Reta DeMesa with the California Energy Commission. You can join in at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Ray in Grants Pass, welcome to the Exchange.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I just had a quick question. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but with all the debt that our country's in and our states are having issues, I'm interested how much tax dollars have gone towards this in just specifically Oregon. I don't know if your other panel members have an idea for them as well, because I just think the free market should handle this. Our tax dollars shouldn't be going into this.
All right. Thanks for that, Ray. Appreciate it. Andrew, let's start with you in Oregon, and we can go to the other states afterward.
So ODOT's contribution to this was $500,000, but it's important also to think about all the different financial implications of remaining dependent on imported foreign oil. So really, in the long term, moving to American energy sources prevents the outflow of trillions of dollars in American money to foreign nations. So you really have to take a holistic look at energy security when you're thinking about the investment in transportation electrification.
Right, so ODOT, $500,000, but what was the total cost? I mean, you mentioned all the grant money that came both from Tiger and from stimulus money.
So there was about $3.5 million in federal funding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Oregon put in about a seventh of that. Tonya Buell in Washington, what was the total layout and how much public money in that? Public money from the state of Washington taxpayers, I guess.
Well, the state of Washington actually did not have an investment in the first project. It was fully funded with the U.S. Department of Energy funds. But things are changing. Our legislators have done a study of electric vehicle charging business models. Your caller mentioned, why doesn't the private sector just go ahead and do this? Well, at this point, until there are more cars on the road and more people using the charging, it's really not a big profitable business. That's why it takes all these partners to get together and put in charging infrastructure. And it takes some state intervention. And so we are actually starting July 1st, EV drivers in the state of Washington are paying an additional $50 a year for their registration fees, and some of that funding is going to be going to an EV infrastructure pilot program where we are going to be installing electric vehicle charging in to fill in the gaps and reach out to areas where we don't have any charging right now.
So, will some of that money also go to road repair, since obviously EVs don't pay gas taxes?
Yes, EV drivers contribute right now, starting July 1st, $150 a year in registration renewal fees, and that goes to pay for road maintenance and operations. But a portion of that, a $1 million in seed funding, is going toward this EV infrastructure pilot program. And through this program, we are going to be offering grants to local communities, to government agencies and nonprofits who partner with the private sector, such as the car manufacturers and the electric vehicle supply equipment providers and others, to get this EV charging installed. So it's really going to be both a public and a private and an EV driver investment.
So to turn to California now, Reda de Mesa, we mentioned that Northern California not really well endowed with chargers at this point, but let's get an idea of the rest of the state. In the parts of the state where there are more people, between Los Angeles and San Diego, for example, is there a fairly good stock of charging devices available?
There are. We have about 375 DC fast chargers in California right now, and we're continuing to build on that. Through the new solicitation funding that I mentioned, the 61 DC fast chargers that we're installing, we're going to be able to cover a good amount of the I-5 between Northern and Southern California, Highway 99, and also US 101.
And what's the time frame? I understand there still has to be a decision made by the commission next month, maybe?
They were actually approved back in April.
Okay.
And we're looking to have them installed within the next 12 to 18 months.
Okay. So come along here. We have... let's see, we have an email here from Wynn in Medford. Says, we own a Leaf and it has a 95-plus mile range. It works great for around town driving and living in Medford. We charge the car about twice a week at the most. If you're talking long-range trips, you don't take the electric unless you have a Tesla. I want to get bounce that off of you, Tonya Buell, if people do avoid taking longer trips with the EVs, unless they're a Tesla.
Well, the reason people will take Teslas on longer trips is they can go up to 300 miles on a charge, and there are superchargers located all across the United States. That's the goal of the West Coast Electric Highway, is to build range confidence so people feel like they can drive farther in their electric vehicle. So I think as you see the prices of batteries coming down and more makes and models available, longer range, you are going to see people traveling longer distances, and the West Coast Electric Highway helps make that happen.
How close... Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to jump in and say there's an entire class of vehicles called plug-in hybrids, which also allow either driving on an electric charge or on gasoline. So this is a vehicle like the Chevy Bolt or the Ford C-Max Energy. And if you have one of these vehicles, then all of your daily commuting around town, that'll all be electric, very clean, very low cost to charge. But if you do want to take a longer trip, it functions just like a gasoline vehicle, and you can go as far as you want and gas up every 400 miles. So there really are a range of options in terms of electric drive that meet all different kinds of driving needs.
Are the chargers getting close to reaching capacity? Are you looking in either Washington or Oregon at this point to add to them, Tonya?
Well, we're definitely trying to put together a program to fill gaps, upgrade any current stations. As Andrew mentioned, there are multiple DC fast charging standards, and so all future state-supported charging stations will have both the CHAdeMO Japanese standard and the combo charger American European standard. And so and things are changing so rapidly in this industry. We're really just at the beginning, and now we're seeing equipment coming out that can charge that's 100 kilowatt hour and 150 and up. Right now our chargers are just 50 kilowatt. So we're seeing changes in technology. It's very exciting. So we're planning ahead to the future when we see many more EV drivers on the road. Right now we have about 16,529 plug-in electric vehicles in Washington. Our goal is to reach 50,000 by 2020.
All right. We could take a few more minutes and talk about electric cars with our folks here from Washington, Oregon, and California. Tonya Buell's with the Washington DOT, Andrew Dick with the Oregon DOT, and Retta DeMesa with the California Energy Commission. You can join the discussion about electric cars and the electric highway and finding charging capacity along the route. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Did I already ask if we're getting close to capacity with the chargers for Oregon, Andrew?
It depends on the station. The interesting thing about having a network that's based on building range confidence is you need some stations in very well-trafficked spots, and you also need some stations along corridors that get you, say, from the Portland metro area to the coast. So it really depends on where you are. We do have some stations that see a lot of use, and potentially if you come up to that station, you'll find that it's in use, and so there, that is a place where you could install additional capacity. We have other sites which really are there for the completeness of the network and see fairly low to utilization, but they're still indispensable to a driver who's making that long trip. So it really depends, but we're doing a lot of analysis in terms of which stations are used, where the gaps are, where we need more capacity, and so forth, depending on the location.
Haven't talked about time thus far. Tonya, with most of the charges, what's the average charging time?
The average charging time is about 30 minutes. I think about 80% charge between 20 and 40 minutes. You can get... on a Nissan Leaf charging up, you can get from 0 to 80% in about 30 minutes, and that's typically what we see on the DC fast chargers.
All right, so definitely a different kind of planning process when you're having to stop for a bit. It's more than just like pulling in and getting gas. Let's take some calls here. We have Alan in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. I should disclosure, I'm a Chevrolet dealer and a Subaru dealer. I've bought a new Volt every year, and my current Volt's getting basically, I've gone 1,000 miles without a drop of gas. But my real question, I guess it's almost a statement, is Tesla chose to use a different kind of charger. It's like the old VCRs where there was Beta and the other brands. What a shame. We need to standardize them. The second question is, Ashland has four chargers. They have a separate electric meter. I've asked Ashland to see how much they're actually used, and everybody says they can't tell, but all I need is a meter reading, which I probably could do myself. But I tried to use one, and the equivalent was about $8 for a gallon of gas to get a charge there. And then after the charge, it clicked off and said, your charge is complete, which it hadn't taken any, and then it said it'll be charged $1 an hour while I sit there parked.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make some more efficiencies of them.
All right, let's talk about that. Appreciate the call, Alan. Andrew, what do you know about Oregon charging and charges to the user?
Sure. So it's important to recognize that there are also companies in the private space that are installing chargers. Oregon just operates this, or rather, we have a contract to operate this system of chargers that we installed through the federal funding. It sounds like the user who just called in was using a private charger, and they certainly have different pricing schemes and the parking scheme to encourage people to leave the spot so that someone else can charge, and so forth. As for the public charger that's installed in Ashland, the one that was installed through ODOT, that information should be available online in terms of its utilization. And certainly if the caller wants to get in touch with me through this program, I could provide the statistics on that.
Tonya Buell, is there any reluctance on the part of some people you think who might otherwise think about buying electric cars because they're not quite sure of the infrastructure that can support them and how they pay for it and all that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely, which is why we're working to let people know what services are out there. There are a lot of great apps that can tell people where they can find charging and really getting the word out. So programs like this really help because there is a lot of good electric vehicle charging out there, and there is going to be more coming.
All right. Well, all three of you will be together in Portland, I guess, on Thursday for a trip along the West Coast Electric Highway to talk about the advantages to electric chargers and what's out there. So I want to thank you all for joining us here today on The Exchange. Tonya Buell's with the Washington DOT, Retta DeMesa with the California Energy Commission, and Andrew Dick with the Oregon Department of Transportation. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.